can be, but.
It's wrong.
Okay. Back in session, 7:50 PM. We'll move to the superintendent's report. I know mine shut off too. You gotta, yeah.
Okay, that's warming up. I'll talk a little bit about the K-6 and 7-12 principal salary schedules. Those are included tonight for the board's review. These have been revised. We did not have a K-6, 7-12 principal schedule. We've created those. Yeah, pull up the. That's next year's. You can see the base is 76,000 for the K-6 principal, 7-12 principal is 92,000. The difference in the 7-12 principal schedule is primarily going from 240 to 235. This allows actually the Dr. Under to have maybe a week off in the summer, maybe. We'll see.
Nope.
Nope.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Strike that. No difference as far as the old schedules. Retirement pickup, 3% of the retirement is picked up by the board. Yellow and green are the placements for Kim and Matt for next year. You notice it says 0% base increase. I'll have a recommendation for all the schedules at the July meeting. That'll tell you what the base increase will be for next year for all the principals, because currently they're operating off of the old schedules until we get the new ones in place. So that's the 15-16 schedule. I think you had the old one as well, but we don't need to look at that unless you want it for some reason. I'm going to go over the next. Any questions on that? No. Go to the. Tonight I've asked members of the facility improvement team to be here. I'm going to walk us through the facility improvement plan that we've come up with. We've met four times formally, several times informally, with trips around the parking lot as well as in the buildings to develop this plan. In the past we've had facility priority lists. We talked about it at the impact meeting, the last one, about here's the list of things we'd like to get done this year. But there wasn't a whole lot of background behind how were those selected and what else are we not doing. This year, the team put together about a 75-item list of improvements that we need to do around the district. We prioritized those as high, medium, and low. Then we focused in on those projects that we consider to be high priorities. If you go to the next slide. The plan itself, we'll have it out on the website so people can walk through it and see what we're planning on doing. We want to show what methods we use to prioritize our facility needs, the list of prioritized needs that we came up with, the cost estimates, and the timelines. When do we want to get these projects done? We're not going to do 75 items this summer. Hey, to burst anybody's bubble, that's not going to happen. Let's go to the next slide, Todd, if we can. Our team, made up of Mr. Kimbler, who brings to the district over 30 years experience. How's that, Larry? That's a good way of putting it. Mr. Penny, he's a director of technology as well as jack of all trades, whatever you throw at him. And then Mr. Mason, because again, so many of the facilities fall underneath of his responsibility. So it just made sense that this would be the team. The next slide, we talk about the scope of this plan. We want to describe the improvements and subsequent projects that need to be completed. Again, that's the list of 75. What are the business needs for each project? A lot of times we forget to say this is a business and identify what the needs are of this business, which is why we have these as our high priority items. What are those projects? How are they related? who are the stakeholders, who is this going to benefit, what work is out of scope for this project, and what we do in each project, and what will we do. So if we go to the next slide, we'll start talking about what I call excellence drive traffic flow. And if you remember, our new signs out here, going past the field house, that's excellence drive, excellence drive. So you'll see me refer to excellence drive traffic flow project. Go to the next slide, if you would. The district administration, as well as the 15, have talked all year long about our traffic flow out here and how we're all scared to death that something is going to happen that we don't want to have happen. We have students, our smaller students and teachers, walking out next to Linson Road with a blind spot. And that blind spot is caused by the buses being forced to pull in and be the rear end is right at the edge of Linson, so people are coming in, turning in, and there are students boarding that bus. That's a safety issue that, you know, one, if we don't correct it, we're all being irresponsible. So that's why this is one of the number one issues to me, is a safety issue out there. Again, 15 recognized it.
Sorry.
You're good. You can go back just one minute. We also have parent complaints due to a lack of parking out here. During our events, when we have parent-teacher conferences or concerts, things like that, there is no parking out here. It's horrible. The traffic flow is terrible, especially when you've got 28 to 30 cars backed up trying to pick up kids and buses trying to get in, people trying to get out. It's just a mess. And also at night, lighting is non-existent back near the baseball fields, and it's very poor after football games, as you guys know. The description of what this project is, ball field parking lot expansion. And I think most people thought that we put the gravel down out there and we were done. Well, that was just the start. The old shop building, if you know what I'm talking about, is right beside the field house. It's the yellow barn. And I say it's the old shop building. I didn't know it was. Again, Mr. Kimbler told us that was put there for storage for the shop, shop class that used to be where central office is now. And since that time, it's used been primarily for what, storage, Larry?
Yes.
Just miscellaneous, whatever we throw in there. And again, that's not storage of classroom supplies because it's gravel. It's not good for that kind of storage. We're looking at demolishing that building. You say, well, we've got a lack of storage space. Well, it's not the right kind of storage, and it's in the wrong spot. Again, we need parking, we need traffic flow. Excavation. Gravel, paving, that's all going to be part of that project. We'll talk more about it here in a second. The front lot improvements, we're looking at lighting out there as well. We'd like to see, that's in the wrong spot, sidewalk from the back lot to the south edge of the intermediate elementary. As we expand that back parking lot, we'd like to put a sidewalk from that parking lot to the south end of this building, as well as the intermediate. It'll connect into the sidewalk back there. So you can go from the back end to the parking lot. Sealing and striping the front lot, installing concrete barriers along Linson Road, and stripe angled parking spots in all areas. Let's go through the rest of the presentation on this project and then we'll do the question. What are the needs? We need additional parking spaces. Ask any teacher, any visitor to our school, any parent, they'll say, yes, you need more parking spaces here. We need additional room for traffic to flow and maneuver. If you do find a spot, it's difficult to get out, and there's a lot of blind spots. Lighting for safety and security, nighttime, we have a lot of blind spots out there. Accessibility to the south end of the intermediate and elementary from the back parking lot. And another need is better parking alignment to allow for maneuverability in all areas. And we'll should throw a graphic up here in a minute. Let's go to the next one. The benefits of this project to the students. Currently, we have several blind spots where students are at risk during dismissal. The worst spot is the entrance on the Excellence Drive. Drivers cannot see students boarding buses. We talked about that. Students will now unload and load in the back parking lot. That's one of our primary goals, is to make that parking lot big enough so we can put at least 10 buses, is it, Kim? 10 buses back there, because we do 10 at a time. We will be able to block off from about the kitchen back, once the buses get back there, to unload and to load, so no traffic will be flowing through there. So that secures the kids and the teachers putting the kids on the buses and taking them off. parents, how will they benefit? They will now drop off at the front of the intermediate and elementary in designated drop-off and pickup areas. Basically, from the intermediate door out to this spot out here is where you'll have kids picked up and dropped off. Students to be picked up, wait until after buses have left the lot. Now, why are we doing that? Because right now we have parents parking, and then they're pulling in front of buses and people that are in the right lines or lanes trying to get out. So we're going to stop that. If they're picking a child up, they're going to wait. And that should be parents will have to turn right onto Linson after picking up a child, not left. So as you're coming out here, you're turning right. If you're turning left, traffic is getting stopped because you're crossing in front of somebody who's trying to come. So they're going to pull out here and they're going to have to go back out on 38. So the problem you're going to run into is somebody wants to go down to the high school. They will have an issue. But we have to keep that flow going. We can't have them waiting to be able to turn left. They're going to turn right. Okay? You'll see here in a moment when we get the picture up. Let's get the next one. We estimate anywhere from 40 to 50 additional parking spaces in the back lot will alleviate the overcrowding during large school events, conferences, and football games. New LED lighting will provide lighting that's currently not in place in the back parking lot and will enhance the safety during large events. Why concrete barriers out along Linson? There's very few schools I've ever been to where the entire parking lot is also considered a road. You have no real entrance and exit lanes in our parking lot at all up here. That's a big problem. I don't know how many accidents we had this year out here, but it was too many. And I know that has something to do with it. We will be looking at putting those concrete barriers in along Linson, and you'll see the parking spaces moved. And as I talk, guys, you three, if you think of something, throw it out there, okay? Angled parking spaces, you wouldn't think that would make much of a difference, but in talking with Larry, it makes a world of difference because it directs the flow of traffic. It forces people to go a certain way, and we need to start doing that to make people go in the lanes of traffic instead of creating their own lanes. Okay. What do we expect to have delivered with this project? A newly paved rear parking lot from basically about central office back will all be paved. Completely new, with 40 to 50 new parking spaces. And again, when we get to the picture, you'll see how this is going to flow. New sidewalk to the rear of the intermediate elementary, new parking barriers, new lighting, and a sealed stripe front lot. Our goal is an August 7th deadline. Now, Larry probably doesn't even know I didn't talk to him today, but I talked to Cox Paving, they're one of the guys that's quoting on it. They said it's really tight, but hopefully we can get it done. What kind of budget are we looking at? And again, we don't have all the information yet. We have estimates, proposals from vendors right now. The best one so far for the rear lot is $9,900 for excavation and gravel. Demolition of the old barn, $3,500. Lighting for the rear and front lots. And that also includes the high school swapping out the lights in the high school parking lot with new LED lights, which they said will make it shine.
And the new bid that's in today, that 20 is actually 11.
Really? What did they take out?
They took out the three on the back of the high school.
Okay, so they're just swapping out. So that number is much lower. Okay, but we get better lighting. Paving the rear lot and sidewalk, again, we're getting quotes, like I said, today and tomorrow. Ceiling and striping will come in as well. The concrete barriers, I was estimating around $3,000, which may be close.
That's just for the barriers, not the installation of the barriers.
They will be movable, just like the ones at the high school. If you notice at the high school front, they have the concrete blocks for parking spaces. That's what we're talking about. But we're also talking about, Joe, do you want to expand on?
Sure. Well, before we make a major capital improvement, we need to make sure that what we're setting up is actually going to permanently work. So that's why we're going to go with like a parking pylon type situation that's movable. So that way, it's something semi-permanent, and once we see the traffic flow and everything's established correctly, then we can come through and look at a sort of island. Not something that would look tacky, something that would look very nice within the campus.
The sorry, Todd, I'm going to jump back a little bit. Those pending items, that paving, that's going to be your most expensive piece. And again, I'm not going to speculate what that will be, but you're talking anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000 potentially. So it's not a small project, but for what we gain, I think it's well worth it. Now, if we want to go to the next. What will make this a success? Our clients and stakeholders, our students and parents and visitors, are they happy with the place? Is it flow correctly? Can they tell where they're going? Is it directional? Do we have improved efficiencies with our parking lot? Do we actually gain spots by angled parking? Do we get more maneuverability so it's easy to work within? We want to complete the project within budget, deliver it on time. And that's why we're moving so quickly. Again, to get done by August 7th, they've got just a few weeks, so we really have to push on this one. Is that my last one? Implementation. Folks that will be managing, Larry's got the paving and striping. Matt is managing the demolition, excavation, and lighting. So getting rid of that building and the lighting on the two parking lots. And Joe's looking into the traffic flow and the concrete barriers. So again, it's not one person doing one component of these projects. There's several people that are monitoring it. And I think that's the last one there. Yeah. So I guess what I'm looking for tonight is, flip back one, Todd, if you would. On this project, we want to green light everything tonight. The reason why I'm putting pressure on you is we have just a few weeks. This has been a major problem ever since I've been here. I think it's been a problem here for a long time. And I'm not going to propose that this solves all the problems. But it certainly takes off some of the pressure by adding parking spaces, gives directional flow to where people are supposed to go, gives lighting, does all those things. So I think this is, like I said, our number one project due to safety reasons, and operationally just makes sense. So this will be one tonight I'll be looking for the board to say, yes, that sounds good, let's do it. That's project number one. Let's go to the second one. Classroom furniture acquisition. Again, not much different than what we did last year. This is a picture of, I believe, the intermediate classroom.
Yes.
We're looking at four more classrooms. Go ahead and flip the next slide here, Todd, if you would. The administration, as well as the board, agreed in 2014 that we would get on a cycle for adding new furniture. Nothing's really changed. We're just in the next phase. Go to the next one. Our description, four classrooms. We're still doing the four classrooms because we have so many other projects we need to use our PI money for as well. The pilot program was in 2014. We got feedback that we solicited from our stakeholders. This year, libraries will be included in the 2015 order. Okay. I still get questions on, are we going to have a library in elementary? Are they going to be combined? Well, we're still working on that. Okay. We're going to have to decide rather quickly because the orders need to get placed. Okay. No pressure on Kim. The needs. Again, we identified those last year. Standard sets of classroom furniture, fixtures, and cabinetry. Learning environment has not been updated in most classrooms for over 20 years, and that was being generous. So those were our needs that we're trying to address. We go to the next one. Our benefits, the students, creation of a new modern functional learning environment. Old furniture is broken and unsafe, so we get rid of that. For the teachers, it reinforces the professional atmosphere in which we expect our teachers to work. We pay people as professionals, they act like professionals, then we need to accommodate them with a professional environment. So that's why the new furniture's coming. Next, the deliverables. This project will provide a complete set of new student and teacher furniture in four classrooms, new furniture for the district libraries, August 31st. Now, that is also a very tight timeline. It'll probably be more like September, but we're hoping.
There's things outside of our control.
So this is, let's go to the next one there, Todd. The budget, basically $70,000 for four sets of classroom furniture. And for two sets of library furniture, I'm basically budgeted $30,000. It may be a little lower than that depending on what the layout and design is. We just have to see what we come up with. Total budget of $100,000. Remember last year, I think our budget was $80,000. So we have increased it by 20, but we're looking at doing our libraries. Again, we've not done anything with any common space
other than the offices to this point. So that's why we included the libraries.
Again, basically the same factors for success. Make sure that folks and the clients and stakeholders are satisfied. We're going to improve the academic environments, complete within budget, deliver on time. Who's in charge? Larry and his crew for cleaning and prepping the target rooms and libraries. Joe for managing the order, coordinate the delivery and install, following up on missed items, ensuring quality of delivered items. So that's the furniture project.
We ended up getting the surveys back from the teachers in the current rooms, and I take it they were all favorable?
They were favorable, and I would say that the feedback that was provided was put into this next order. So for instance, we only had a short pilot because we didn't get into the classroom until spring break.
Right.
This next year coming up, along with the feedback we received from the surveys, will allow us to figure out, okay, are we going to expand the following years out more than just the basic rooms?
Okay.
Our next project, intermediate gym HVAC. If you recall, when we put in the HVAC in the intermediate building, that was left out. And it was left out due to budgetary constraints. So this is like phase two of that project. So we walked through it. As I've said, this is phase two. That's how it was developed. So the next one. Description, what we're looking at is air conditioning and heat will be provided to the intermediate gym via two commercial grade heat pumps. That should say with. No, the heat pumps will feed six blowers. Is that right, Larry?
Okay.
They will be electric pumps, not gas. And the old boiler will be completely disconnected. And that's really an important piece you need to remember. That old boiler is causing us a lot of problems. And we'll talk about those more in a second. We go on. The needs. The intermediate gym is very hot during late summer and early spring. The current heat system, the water boiler, is pushing moisture into the gymnasium, raising the potential for mold. I didn't say we have mold. It raises the potential for mold. Okay. Anytime you've got an old building that has water in it and you can't get it pushed out of there and get the air cycling through, you've got potential for mold. During plays, concerts, athletic events, the gym is very hot and it's just extremely uncomfortable. And that's even aside from the wood chairs that we have in the bleachers. So we go next. The benefits, students will benefit from a controlled climate, free of potential health hazards such as mold. The teachers will benefit. Have PE and a control climate are more comfortable and therefore are more apt to complete the assignments more successfully. Also, the regular ed classes benefit from students who just exercise in a climate controlled environment. And if you've had to teach a classroom full of sixth grade boys, you just were in gym class that was really hot, you know what I'm talking about. Parents will enjoy watching concert plays and athletic events. And again, another piece about this intermediate gym is there's another down the road conversation about the auditorium at the high school and this intermediate gym and what the purpose is going to be for both. Okay, this gives you options. If we do this, it gives us options. Maybe we use this as our auditorium, maybe we don't, but at least it gives us that option. Next, deliverables. Like I said, two commercial grade heat pumps, six blowers, a climate controlled gymnasium, and August 7th. Again, tight window. You're asking outside contractors to come in and get everything done very quickly. But we think we could do it. This proposal is a lot simpler to do than what was initially proposed to us. And Mr. Kimler and Joe worked with his Wellers out of Greenfield, wasn't it? Who did the initial designing of the other HVAC. They wanted us to go more with a gas chiller. Is that what it was, Larry?
Yeah, a gas furnace and just a regular chiller versus a pump. We found this to be successful in our classroom, so we see no reason not to go with that in our gymnasium also.
So, our estimate that we got, the pumps and hardware is a hard estimate, $61,000. The labor is truly an estimate at this point. We've got to get proposals for that. So $81,000, it could be $71,000, it could be $91,000. So I don't want you thinking that's the cost at this point. If the board says green lights this, then we'll have to put that piece probably out for bid. Because it'd be more than $25,000 and definitely have to bid. But we'll get that estimate from Wellers, that's what they think the cost will be, and then we'll bid it if we have to. our key health factors of success, again, doesn't really change from what you just saw in the previous project. Improving that academic environment, which your gymnasium is an academic environment, completed with budget, within budget, and on time. Larry will be getting the quotes, coordinating the install, managing all punch lists, Joe making sure of quality assurance, and evaluating the quotes and specs as they come in, along with Larry.
Does that mean that gym would be off limits during installation?
Not necessarily. This is going to be a real unopposing way to do this, and I think there may be a real short time frame that they may need total access, but other than that, I don't think it will be off limits.
Because I know you have to have both gyms over the summers for your basketball open gyms and volleyball open gyms and all the other stuff. So
yeah, I think that could be worked around.
Okay.
Yeah, they already redid the floor, so they shut down for 2 weeks. So we're trying to shoot for those 2 weeks also for that project.
Next up, intermediate cafeteria. This is project number 4 of 4 projects. There's more jobs, but these are all projects. The intermediate cafeteria, it's just a picture of that cafeteria at this point. Just give you some bearings. You can see you've got your wall here that looks out into the courtyard. This wall, these windows look into the current teacher's lounge. So that gives you your bearings a little bit. Let's slide on from there, Todd. We've been discussing changes to that cafeteria impact and with the board for 2 years now. Different options and ideas have been kicked around from enclosing the courtyard to a whole slew of other ideas. Timing and available resources have been the roadblock, as well as wanting to not overinvest into an older facility. Again, if we were to enclose that courtyard, you're talking a lot of money, and you have to decide, is that where we're going to be for a long period of time? So that's when I say overinvest. You're weighing between putting money into something that you may not be in 10 years or not. District administrators, we've all been involved in talking about the cafeteria and how we can improve it. Let's go to the next one. What we're talking about doing now, blowing out the wall between the current cafeteria and the teacher's lounge. It's glass, it's small block, and it's not a support wall. Is that correct, Larry?
That's correct.
So it's easily removed. Put the double doors going into the courtyard where the windows in the current teacher lounge are. So now you have access from your cafeteria into your courtyard. Currently, they don't have access. Install newer, softer lighting, and install lowered ceiling. We'll talk about why here in a second. Let's go on. The needs. Cafeteria acoustics are terrible. Even soft talking by students that room sounds very loud. Is that true, Trish?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a problem with that this year?
Oh, yeah. It's been that way since 1978.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Space is at a premium in that room as well. Students are crowded when you have a full grade in there, so it gets crowded. We have scheduling conflicts that don't allow students to go to the gymnasium after eating. So you've got a crowded room with no place for kids to go oftentimes. So those are the needs. By doing what we described, the students will benefit from a larger space, they'll have a more quiet environment, softer lighting is easier on the students and staff using the cafeteria, and doors leading to the courtyard allow students access to green space when the gym is not available. The aides that monitor the cafeteria during lunchtime will find a quieter environment that absorbs sound instead of reflecting it. More space will allow aides to control student behavior easier. Again, I think that's the right way of putting it, isn't it, Larry? That current environment, it reflects the sound right back at them.
Correct.
There's nothing that absorbs any sound in there.
Did that room get air conditioned when we did the other units? So it's air conditioned.
Go to the next one more time. What we hope to do is add additional space, new lighting, new egress doors to the courtyard and lowered ceiling, baffling the noise. I think that's probably the number one issue is that noise and controlling it. The lowered ceiling is basically, it's also a pilot. We want to put a lowered ceiling in and see if the dead space above that ceiling baffles the sound. Because according to, you talked to them, Larry, they said, what did they say about that?
Yeah, the dead air space is going to act as a sound baffler, and it's probably going to do as good a job as any baffle you put in there. If not, with the lowered ceiling. If we find out next year that that's not 100% effective, then we can actually add baffles above the ceiling, which would even deaden them more.
What happens with the teacher's lounge?
That's a good question. Let's go to the next one. We get just a good question. And we got an answer. The wall demolition is $0 because we're going to do that in-house. Again, it's just taking out the block, which takes some elbow grease and muscle. Lowered ceilings, $8,500. New lights, $3,000. Egress doors, $6,000. So to do that, you're talking about $17,500. Okay. So for $17,500, we hope we can solve a lot of problems we've got in that room. Next. Again, very similar to the other areas that we saw as far as what our success factors that we'll look at. And then next, Larry's going to be getting the quotes, coordinating install, managing the punch list, and Joe's watching quality assurance and evaluating the quotes and specs. Now, to answer your question, Ken, that was the one thing that was holding things up was, what are we going to do for a teacher's lounge? And we've got several ideas that we've kicked around. We've got several spaces that are open that we're going to utilize, and we will have a teacher's lounge. Okay, I can't tell you today exactly where that's going to be, because we're talking even as of today, options is where that's going to be. But we are required, I'll let Stormy address it, but we are required to have a teacher's lounge for the teachers, and we will have one. Our hope is actually to have a nicer one, to be quite honest. Because it's...
I went in the process of the transition and talked to every grade level team. There's only one group of teachers who sometimes eats in that lounge because of the conditions of it. So they are not even utilizing it because it smells. It's not food, it's just, it's a small, narrow room. So they're not utilizing it, so we need to create better space for the teachers.
Where are they currently eating if they're not eating
in their classroom?
It's a storage closet. It's a big one, but that's what we use it for.
But we will have a teacher's lounge.
We're hoping to make a much more inviting area where they actually can feel like they can go in.
Well, and it's gonna, and the students will be able to sit down and eat lunch, because that's a big problem. They can't. I mean, there's not enough room for all the students in the cafeteria today. So.
And then we're at the current location. It's right beside with glass separating students and teachers. Yeah. The teachers probably, I would guess, couldn't hear themselves in.
To be honest, I was a big advocate for expanding the cafeteria into the courtyard. That made sense to me. And then this is why you get people that you wouldn't think would be on these type of teams in there, because they come with ideas. And Matt was sitting there one day and said, why don't we just take that wall out? That's probably a pretty good idea. I don't know why it's there. So that's where that came from, and it's a good one. And I think it will help us tremendously. So. All right. Summary of those four projects, Excellence Drive Traffic Flow Project. I don't have a total cost estimate, but you're waiting on the paving. Okay. Classroom furniture, $100,000, intermediate gym, HVAC, at least $80,000. That's kind of our estimate at this point. The intermediate cafeteria, $17,500. Total budget, I didn't put that in because that's a big one at the top. Okay. These are the four projects. These require multiple contractors to help us. HVAC requires us to do some bidding, and multiple people managing these projects. That's why I haven't listed this way. These are the ones that I'm looking for some approvals tonight for us to move ahead. The next slide, I call them fit jobs. They're individual jobs can be completed by one contractor or in-house. So they don't fall underneath my definition of a project. The next shows our next 11 projects for jobs. The roof evaluation, Larry's had the guys out. They're getting ready. They'll provide us a report by Monday, isn't it, Larry?
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll know if we have a roof that's going to fail, or if we just have some patching, or if we just need a plan in place to take care of a few things. Concrete repairs, where are those located, Larry, that we're talking about?
They're very small. In the front of the high school, the front walk at the high school has some raising and dipping in it that we need to take care of. We have a small spot at the back of the 4-6 area, and then possibly a new concrete apron at the bus garage.
So again, that's one thing, we hire somebody to come in and do it one job. So. The band observation platform, and I've got a number tied to that because we did get an estimate for building that. The last few years, the band has used whatever lift we can find for her preseason prep with her band. That was dangerous, to be quite honest. When you have a forklift that's, you know, not a forklift, but a scissor lift, and you've got your band director up there, and with our wind, I was not comfortable with that, I don't think anybody else was. So we are looking at building a band observation platform. The current location we're looking at is beside the parking lot at the high school, because that's where Renee says she has the best view of her band as they practice. And we're not looking at some small little platform. It's 20, do you remember the dimensions? 22 feet high.
Two decks,
steel.
The outside posts are all galvanized steel with two wood decks, and the decks are eight feet long, and I think it's 6 feet wide. So it's a big deck.
Right, it'll be fenced in for security reasons. So band does a good job. We've invested in a lot of programs this year. It's their turn to have a nice investment in their program. Replacement windows as needed. Larry works with the window folks to analyze what windows we need. This is an ongoing project. It's not like this is new. We do this every year, find the worst windows and replace them. Sewage plant upgrade. What are those called again, Larry?
Weirs.
Weirs. And what do those do without being too descriptive?
Okay, weirs are just basically the water, keeps the water at a certain depth and lets it pass over is basically what it does. And that gives retention time for the water.
Okay. And that's the upgrade we need to do. That's all we need to do for now. We've already got the parts. It's just a matter of getting them installed.
Correct.
The bus van purchase, that's on hold. You'll have something for me in July. We'll see how the busing program looks come July. Exterior door replacement. We have 7 doors on the field house, 5 at the high school.
Correct.
Is that it? There's one more.
The cafeteria.
The double doors, right. This $19,000 doesn't include the cafeteria, though. Right? I think that's for the 12 doors.
Yeah. No, it would include it.
Does it?
Because we're only at $5,700 for the field house and 6 for the double.
Okay. So there's 12 doors, and then the double doors we're looking at getting replaced. So all the doors on the field house will be new, and there's 5 exterior doors in the high school will be replaced. And those are the ag doors.
Band, hallway door, dock door, and the industrial tech door.
Most of those doors have they been replaced?
No.
Those are original doors to the high school, so they need replaced. The painting of the elementary, we looked at that last year, if you recall. It was like $5,500. I put an estimate in there about $6,000. If you notice the front of the elementary, it's faded, and you can still see where the stripes are from when they hauled the modulars there. So we're getting a quote for doing the entire building as well as the connector. The top of the connector, because the paint is not, the trim is not consistent. You'll notice that now as you walk out, like, oh yeah, it doesn't match. So, the wireless improvements, Joe presented back in April, I think. I'm talking about improvements to the wireless program. We're waiting on federal funding to determine how we're going to move forward with that. The additional campus cameras, we are looking at some cameras, especially in the high school parking lot, angled from the transportation office towards the high school. That way you can get the student perspective, the perspective of the parking lot looking at the high school. Right now we don't have anything out back, so we need that security camera. And then flagpole, which is the Raise the Flag MP program that we have right now, which we've got about $1,500, so it cost about $10. Put a 40 to 50 foot pole and big flag. If you notice where we put the Raise the Flag MP sign down by the height of the baseball field, that's where that would go. One of the things that we get for the concrete repairs would be a concrete pad put down there. So that way we'd have a flagpole that could be used for the facilities down there as well as these buildings. future planning. One more, sorry. The discussion we've had about storage facility slash, I'm calling slash bus garage, because as we meet as a team, we start, we come up with even better ideas as to how we utilize our space and funds. If we look at a new storage facility or a new bus garage, it would allow for the following. Removal of the Centric Academy trailer that sits out here, which would add a little bit of parking, and it would get rid of an eyesore. Placement of the transportation supervisor and head of maintenance into a new facility down by the bus compound. It would place the current academy students into the current transportation office, at which the high school principal and assistant would have easy access to the academy instead of having to drive down here to see those kids for whatever reason. Storage of classroom supplies, bulk purchase, and furniture into the current bus garage. Right now, we don't have any space to store class supplies, bulk supplies, so for example, paper. Paper is still shoved in the ag area. So all of our paper for the district we buy in bulk is shoved in the ag area. So what we need is additional storage space. There's lots of ways we can do it. One is you build a new storage facility. Pole barn is climate controlled. Or you can put storage in the current bus garage and build a new bus garage. So either way is an option. I'm not looking for any approval for the board on this tonight. I want you to be aware that we're looking at that. Another big component to this, if we get it done, we separate the bus traffic from the high school student, parent, and staff traffic. Buses completely off the lot. They'd be in a separate lot all by themselves. It would also increase the parking area for the buses in a new bus compound. This is something that we're going to be working on moving forward to plan. It's not necessarily for the start of school, so don't get that impression. Let's go back up top because I got my last one. One more. This summary, and I know there's pieces of information missing for you, but if we want to do some of these, we have to pull the trigger. And I'll give you an example on Excellence Drive. For us to expand that back parking lot the way we want to expand it, that storage building is there now. It can't be used for anything that we need to store. It needs to come down. It needs to come down tomorrow. Okay? And I say tomorrow because the piece of equipment that can tear it down is sitting beside of it now. Because we're in anticipation of you saying, yes, we like it. We're going to tear it down tomorrow so we can start excavating
Thursday.
That's how quickly we need to move if we're going to do it. And again, the missing piece for you is the paving. And what can put your mind at ease, if the paving comes in at an amount that's just ridiculously high, $100,000 or something like that, then we haven't lost anything because we still have gravel in a conditional parking space. So what we're looking for is paving the gravel that we put in place. But if the paving is too expensive, we won't do it. But what I need to know from you tonight, and I know it puts you on the spot, but we've got to do it. Do we want to move ahead with the Excellence Drive traffic flow project? And is there more information you want from me before you can say, yeah, move ahead?
You think that's going to be enough parking spaces?
No.
So are there going to be plans to expand in another phase a couple years from now? Or
We are putting, and again, we're putting lipstick on a pig. This parking lot, the way we're laid out, was never designed for the number of cars and buses that we have flowing through here. All we're doing is making it better. We're not going to try to disguise this as, hey, this is going to be great. It's going to be a lot better. It's going to be a lot more parking. It's going to be lit. The angled parking is going to force people to go in lanes. But it's not going to be great. The only way that you're going to have a very good situation is if we have a new facility. But that's not going to happen with this.
Well, go ahead.
There was talk that we had with our representative, Mr. Hackett, about the egress or the, you know, getting onto 38. And that seems to have gotten really no place for us. Would that help?
It would help.
The problems that we have.
Here's the problem you've got with that. You've got to work in hypotheticals. And I'm always thinking, okay, 5 and 10 years down the road, if this district decides and this community supports the building of a new facility, and we put an egress in, let's say, right down here by the playground. But in 5 years, we get a new facility voted in, and the state comes in and says, you don't want that there. It needs to be half a mile that direction. You put it in the wrong place. You put a major investment into the excavation and paving of that road that is no longer designed for that new facility. So that's where I talk about overinvesting. That's a really good example of overinvesting.
I think for the safety purposes alone, for the children, for the student drivers, I mean, that whole environment is just a horrible tragedy waiting to happen. And I don't think I think you have to, for the safety of the students at the base part, right? I mean, and I know you said that there's accidents out there. I know that they've had a lot of accidents, and that's even the adults having accidents. So we're not talking about the student drivers that drive in and out of there for all the athletics too. So for me, a big concern. And I've seen students not drive slow through there, right? So there's a lot of safety issues for me that I don't even need to have further conversation about, because that needs to be our number one concern.
Todd, what's the current balance in the PI fund?
Glad you asked that. My segue in
that
information.
Look at that.
See, I do have that pulled up here. Right here, this is just our current. If you haven't seen the kind of system we operate out here online here, this is kind of what we pull up when we pull up our cash account. You see we have an initial cash balance this year at the beginning of the year of $777,000. To date, we've received $463,000 and expended $496,000. That leaves us with a current fund balance of $744,000. Now, we have $123,000 of that encumbered right now, but $94,000 of that is for a bus that is part of your proposal coming.
It's late. Already ordered.
It's already ordered. Yep. So, I mean, that's part of it there. But with that included, you're at $621,000 in the PI fund right now. And we receive roughly $525,000 a year in our PI fund. So.
And these things that we're talking about look like they're going to eat up about half of that, if not more. Correct?
Of the current fund balance?
Of the current
fund balance, yes. I would say that's correct.
And then we'll start in the next year with 621, another half million.
When do we get the other half million?
You get it in two halves. You get it in August and in March, February and March.
So it's before we get our money in August.
My only
you
thing.
You can see what we received in 14 was 526,000, 13, 500,000. We have 529,000 receivable this year.
520.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what your concept is with the traffic flow, but when you force people to turn right onto Linson Road, I look for you to have a nightmare there. I mean, because people, unless you got a sheriff standing there watching everybody, and if you got a sheriff standing there, then he might as well direct traffic to go the other direction anyways. But I mean, my only thing is I think you ought to study that a little harder, and I don't know what the answer to that is. I know what you're trying to accomplish with that, but I know that if any parent that's got a student that is at the high school and the elementary school, they swing in here and pick up their elementary school student, they want to run right down to the high school, and now you're going to make them go out, and there's not even, I was trying to think, what do? You go down to Watson, you go all the way back down to Newport, you come all the way back around. I mean, you're adding 6 miles to their 7 miles to their trip to pick up their high schooler.
Yeah, they're not going to take the
they're
time
not gonna
to go
do
down
it.
To Watson. They're going to pull into the drive across the road there.
And they're going
to
back up onto 38, which is going to be worse yet. So
what time
is
the dismissal?
Pick up the kids from the high school before you pick them up.
What
before
time's
you
the,
get on the bus. So
yeah. Right. What time's the dismissal at the elementary, though? So talk about times.
Well, that's still yet to be determined, because we're talking about doing staggered, you know, stops
right.
and starts. So that's also a factor. I wouldn't let the turning right out of Linson holds
no,
it up. Because
no, it doesn't hold.
I
just want to say, I just,
you're not
in my
be
opinion,
able to enforce that.
No. Either way. But my opinion is you ought to study that a little harder before you just come out and say you have to turn right on the Linson Road, because I think there's got to be some other way to accomplish that. I don't know what it is, but I don't know.
The challenge is that it's gridlocked enough and obviously.
Oh, I know it is.
That turn left's challenging because when people come in and turn right onto Linson off 38, then people get blindsided there also.
Oh, I.
So that's why it's we're doing our best to try to tilt them to the right. And I see where you're coming from because that's.
And I will, I would argue. And I will argue this, and I'll probably be wrong, but I will still argue that it's safer to try and turn left here at 7 o'clock in the morning when everybody stopped than it is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I saw a high schooler get hit out here by a lady coming up the road because he shortcut the parking lot because no concrete barriers. And he comes to fly across the, and he gets hit because a woman's coming up and over the hill and he couldn't see her and she runs right into the side of him. So, I mean, that's because traffic's going fast, but in the morning when traffic is deadlocked, I'd say that's the safest time you have to turn left as long as there's somebody there to let you out. That's my opinion, but, you know, so I just say study it a little more before you make that determination.
We will.
But I think the project is good.
To Bob's concern on the dollars, this is the time you do spend the majority of your PI funds. It's your summer project. So you're going to see, and again, we have followed that practice of my predecessor of you always make sure you have funds available in your PI fund. And I'm firm believer in that too. That's why we have $600,000 now.
I've done the math. I don't have the problem with the balance in the PI fund.
I've got one other concern. You were talking about maybe relocating the parking for the buses. Is that this little box that I see that's close to the Linson? You threw it under there.
I just don't
you see the new drive, and then you see the new bus dock behind that. I believe the new office probably for the
here's what building we're in right now. Here's your parking lot out here that we have so much trouble. Here's the right-hand turn that Mike was just talking about. The way we envision it to flow now, and again, we're going to test the flow. We envision the parents that are picking up and dropping off flowing through here and wrapping around here and coming back out. And the reason being is if you take them here, they could possibly be backing up on the Linson. Okay? Because we estimate 28 to 30 cars is the number of cars that back up here during the pickups. So if we do something along these lines, we feel it will be good. Now, the curbing would go out here, separating you from Linson, so you don't have this flow of traffic all along here. It's in and out here and in and out here. Okay? We want to dedicate this lane for parents. These two lanes are dedicated for buses. Okay? So your buses will always be coming from down at that end, coming up here, coming down here. And this parking lot is where you, this white building is the current storage barn we're talking about taking down. Here's the end of the field house. We're talking about angle parking these cars here, which makes this space a little wider. Okay? It also gives you the ability to come across here at the edge of this building and come back here and utilize the full parking lot. This will be roughly, what we say, 150 by 150. I think is what we said this parking lot would become. Okay? 10 buses lined up back here, blocked off up here. Once they all get in here, students can egress any direction that Mrs. LeGault wants them to come out and to enter the building. But they would be separated from this traffic happening up here.
Okay? So those cars at the angle parking there by the field house, you're now forcing them when they back out to come down and around the back lot to go back out.
But during the school day, we're planning for that to be staff parking, not student parking. And the buses will be gone, and the students can park down that big area.
For athletes.
Right. The students who would come after school. So they shouldn't be backing out when the buses are coming in and out because of staff parking.
Does the elementary school run out after the high school?
There's also another old barn out here that really is absolutely filled with junk. But it's going to get torn down as well by the field house down here. So that's coming out.
Can you do any kind of light? I know it's a dumb question. I'm just saying. Have you looked at any kind of traffic light? that kind of coincides with like a parking lot where they could go out, turn left?
We have not. Are you talking about putting on Lenson, or are you talking about a here?
It'd have to be on Lenson.
I'm just saying, if your goal is to have people turn left. I don't know anything about traffic.
If you do it at 38, that actually is going to involve the state.
You can't do it on 38.
I do know it's very expensive.
It's going to involve the state. And does anybody know the cost of a traffic light?
I don't know. I didn't say anything about traffic.
I do.
Yeah.
I know you do. So that's not a bad idea, other than it's expensive, and I know it'd take a lot of time. So it's something that we can look into, but.
I'm just saying that your goal is to turn left. Your goal is right now not to turn left, so.
Yeah, just to get them to go here.
So that's not really, okay.
Because when they're coming here, they're shooting out between this traffic and this traffic, trying to go that way.
It'll make it easier for the buses to get out,
too,
because they're going to be turning right on the Lenson anyway, so.
Okay.
We have buses that go left.
Well, you won't have too many.
You have more than you think go left.
Are you going to have buses go left?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. You have to.
I'm just asking the question. Yes? Okay.
Yeah.
So what?
But again, trying to separate this flow. Right now, this flow crosses. And that's what we're trying to get ahead of. The other components we talked about, right in here, we were looking at the tower, the observation tower, the band, over top across the practice field. The reason why this is kind of pinned in, this is where we got prices for a bus parking lot compound. Basically, taking this part away and making the compound over here, separating the buses from the staff and the students. This is location of the lights at the high school that we're going to put LEDs in. We'd have one pole back here, wasn't it, Matt, that would light up this entire back parking lot. Have new lighting up here off the intermediate lighting up that parking lot. Down here is where the flagpole would go. And that's it. Say it again. So those are the projects, the four main projects that we'd like to get done this summer. So if we can flip back to the project summary. Classroom furniture, I think that's somewhat, hopefully, a no-brainer. That's part of that project. We're just phasing in this, the next phase. You're going to be gym HVAC. Again, you're investing in an older facility, but it's a modern investment compared to what we did for all the classrooms. Remember that all the classrooms were about $275,000. So this gets your entire gym heated and cooled and shuts off your boiler.
Is the roof going to be inspected? Is it these units could be on the roof, correct?
These two units would be.
So it is dependent on your roof inspector, because you're going to inspect the roofs on this facility also.
Correct.
Okay.
And then the cafeteria, which I also believe that is somewhat of a no-brainer as long as we do have the appropriate teachers' lounge. So I guess my question to you, are any of those something you're saying, no, absolutely not, don't do it? Because we've got a motor if we're going to do it. We literally have people lined up tomorrow ready to start working.
Take it down.
But we're still waiting for quotes on some of the stuff.
The paving.
Would we be able to have the work necessary work done by next meeting so that we can move the quotes?
I think what Tim is saying, though, is that if the quotes come in too high, we'll just stick with gravel and skid row paving.
Correct.
That's acceptable to me.
Yeah.
The HVAC was just an estimate, too. There's no bids that support the HVAC.
On the labor.
Right.
On the labor. Right. Which we're estimating at 20.
Yeah. Right, which could be a lot less.
Right.
Could be more.
Depends on if we need to do some extra work on the roof to get that up. That's going to drastically increase your cost on the labor and some materials if it's needed.
Right. So I don't anticipate that, but it is something that we have to look at. And again, the if any of these things don't come the way we anticipate, we certainly would keep the board informed.
Right.
Because again, your commitment tonight that I'm looking for is for us to start down this path. But if something side rails us, you'll be back in the loop and we'll make a decision whether to move forward or not. The paving to me is the only thing really that's a sticky issue on here. No pun intended. Because we just don't know. I think it was what, for that 55,000 square feet, did they give us a quote on that at the high school?
To do the excavation or the paving?
They didn't give us paving yet, did they?
We have the excavation.
Yeah. So we just don't know at this point on the paving. So what I can do so we can get moving on that is do everything except the green light to paving. And once I get that, I can communicate with the board and say, you know, if you have any heartburn with this.
My question is on the flagpole. Our intent is to still fully fund that through private donations, correct?
That is
we're
the
not
intent.
Okaying $10,000 for the flagpole.
No, we're only okaying those four.
Correct.
Those four projects there.
Right. The flagpole project is a we get
actually,
donations.
That was part of the FIT program that's moving forward anyway.
It's part of the jobs.
Right.
So if you flip over to the FIT jobs, there you go. Roof evaluation we're doing. Concrete repairs we're going to do. The band observation we're going to do. The replacement windows we do. Sewage plant we're going to do. Bus and van purchases on hold. Exterior door replacement we are going to do. Again, those fall underneath, the purchasing agent's ability to purchase. Painting of the elementary. If the quotes come in right, we will do that. If they don't, we might hold off on that. The flagpole listed $10,000. That is a fundraising program. Now, if we come here in July and we've got $8,000, I might look at the board and say, we've got $8,000. Do you want to contribute $2,000? As an example. Or we might have $12,000. I don't even have to bring it up. We just get it done. But it's just a matter of timing and how quickly we want to do it.
And the wireless improvements are still dependent upon the federal grant.
That's correct. And
I included the 3, 7, and 8 in my figures, but I did not include the flagpole, which was why it was estimated.
Yeah, which
I think you'd be correct in doing.
Okay.
Yeah. All monies would flow through the district, but it would be with donations.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay, those are the jobs that we got lined up. As far as the projects, my commitment to you then is on the traffic flow. We will do everything up until paving. Once we get those paving quotes, I will keep you informed of what those are and see where we're at.
I think we're good over here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, guys. Let's move on to the next item. We negotiated a contract between MPA and the Board of Education. I did provide a handout. I don't know if there were enough up there for everybody. The summary of the changes, maybe Stormy can do this for us too. I know you had to do it. You're well versed at it now.
Come on.
Yeah.
The base increase for teachers as proposed in the tentative agreement is 1%, 2%, 2% each of the over the next 3 years. There is an optional alternative pay schedule that will be implemented in 2019. Again, that's at the option of the employee. It's not optional that it will be put in place. It's optional whether they want to join and be a part of that alternative pay schedule. We did remove several unused supplementals. Most of the reserve, I think most or all the reserve coaching positions became assistant positions, all of them. Okay. The facility manager supplementals, those were increased in pay due to the increase in responsibility because, again, one of my major goals was to provide more site management, which allows our athletic director to have time during the day at the school to help with coverage, as well as focusing in on improving our athletic program. Health reimbursement account is now part of the contract. Current liability for district employees is 95% of the deductibles. This will move to a 90-80-80. Okay. The retirement incentive plan currently was $21,000 if you elected to retire in your 30th year. That moves to 70% of your last year's salary, your final year salary, in their 30th or 31st year. Again, the change in STRS rules basically requires teachers to work through their 35th year, so it wasn't much of an incentive at $21,000 to give up all your benefits, or at least a large part of them, to take that incentive. Staff, their meeting time and class coverage time compensation was $25 for those meetings and class coverage. It's now moved to $30. The board will pay for BCI background checks for the teaching staff. Board policy may now be grieved if I, being the superintendent, discipline employee without pay for 5 or more days. Previously, the board policy could not be grieved. Teachers must now be employed by the district for at least 5 years to have the right to any vacant teaching position. Coaching supplementals must be given to internal candidates. This is athletic coaching, by the way. I know we have a different type of coaching in the room. Given to internal candidates only if they have 5 years' experience of freshman level or higher of coaching in that sport. The coach may also be evaluated out if not performing well as a coach. Sick leave bank rules now require members to donate a day every other year versus every 3 years. What this does is it makes sure that that person that doesn't have any balances, they won't be a member if they can't contribute every other year, so that makes them hold back some of their days. A new teacher will be required to donate 1 day per year in each of their first 3 years to be a member and can only borrow up to 5 days from the sick leave bank. Teachers must pay back 2 days of any sick bank days borrowed before they are eligible to borrow again. And last but not least, calamity days must be made up after 5 days have been missed. Makeup days for those calamities will be all holidays beginning with Martin Luther King Day up to spring break. Then during spring break, those days will be used except for Good Friday. Now, there were a lot of other changes, and I think this is one of the most in-depth changes to the contract I think we've had in several years. But these were the most significant that I saw. I want to make sure you knew about those, the public knew about those before you voted on it tonight. If the board has any questions on that, I'd be happy to.
We'll have an idea regarding the calamity days. We'll have an idea of how many days in spring break we're going to be using well before spring break actually hits, so we can have some kind of email or contact with parents that we've got a spring break vacation plan. You might want to reduce it by however many days that we've got to use in spring break,
right,
or something. Right?
I'm actually required to communicate that to the teachers, what our makeup plan is going to be in advance of taking holidays or however we're going to do that. So,
okay.
Yeah. Certainly. Unless you have late missed days for power outages and things like that.
Yeah. Or whooping cough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm asking that all
the
questions.
Yeah, I don't have
any
questions.
All right. With that, that concludes my report. Is that enough?
So soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we will move to section I, unfinished business.
Madam President?
Yes, sir.
No, not unfinished. I thought we were going
right in. Yep, go right ahead. Go to new business.
Okay.
That's
Madam
fine,
President,
sorry.
I move my recommendation to the superintendent board approved master agreement between the Madison Plains Education Association, OEA, NEA, and the Madison Plains Board of Education as presented. The agreement period is July 1st, 2015 through June 30th, 2015.
I'll second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the second and final reading of the following board policies.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
If I can interrupt real quick from the last motion on the adoption of the approval of the contract. I do want to say thank you to Stormy and her team because we did use IBB. It did go very well, and I think it was a very good product that we came up with. That, again, you never walk away everybody happy, but nobody I think was really upset. So that was a win for everybody. So I do want to thank you guys
you
for that. Sorry.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Stephanie Kellenberger, sixth grade English teacher, effective the end of the 2015-2016 school year. Mrs. Kellenberger served Madison Plains for the past 8 years.
Second.
2015-2016?
Should
that be 14?
14 and 15. Yeah, she's not here next year. Sorry.
So, discussion? I have a quick question. Her resignation letter said pending my approval at the Shelby City Schools June board meeting. So are we, we're saying okay, pending whether she gets approved or, I mean, doesn't that?
She was already hired at their last meeting.
Okay.
So we're basically
we don't have a
that.
Challenge with that, okay.
If something were to happen, we'd be representing that.
Okay. All right.
We have a resignation.
Okay. Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board accept with regret the resignation of Brett Prince, diversion specialist, effective June 5th, 2015. Mr. Prince has served the district for 1 year.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the principal salary schedules as presented.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ Brad Miller on a 3-year contract as assistant K through 6 principal at step 3, effective the 2015-2016 school year.
Second.
Discussion?
If I could take a moment, I'd like to have Mrs. LaGault talk briefly about the process we went through to find Mr. Miller. But he wants to talk for about 10 minutes.
I'm good.
He doesn't. I tried to tell him earlier that you have to be prepared because you never know when you're going to talk.
Spotlight.
He thought I was making that up. The first thing we did, first of all, I mean, I think a lot of people think, gosh, Madison Plains doesn't have many applicants. We had 36 people apply for the K-6 assistant principal and 62 for the 7-12 assistant principal position. So I think that's pretty amazing. Things that we need to share. There is a lot of interest, and we're seeing that in all our teaching positions. There's a lot of interest in Madison Plains right now. So that's things to celebrate. The initial piece we did was a screening process where we looked at 6 criteria. We looked, did they hold the proper license? What type of leadership experience have they had? Have they had administrative experience? What's their proximity to Madison Plains? Have they received any national or state awards? And then have they been in a district that has been rated very high in the state of Ohio? And then we sat down with Tim and Matt and myself, and we put out a pretty aggressive timeline, which kept us on our toes, I must say. And then we started with the initial screening of those. First thing we did when we looked at out of that 6, we had a cut score, and we only looked at applicants who fit in the top tier of that. We didn't even spend our time going through ones who only met 1 or 2 criteria. And then at that point, we were given the challenge. I'm going to kind of help you out here. We followed the exact same process, and Matt and I were constantly checking to make sure we were in the same spot so we know that it was handled the same way. We presented our top 6 candidates that we wanted to bring in for interview to Mr. Detweiler, and then justified why we brought them in. And this was definitely a time where you had to kind of lose your own pride a little bit and say, I have to find somebody who can complement my weaknesses. We kind of know where we have areas of weakness, and you had to find somebody who could complement those pieces. So that was a big piece when we were looking at those too. We presented our top 6. He said, okay, where's your 7? Where's your 8? In case of 5 or 6. So we kept that number to come in. And then we put together our first round interview team, which included ourselves, another district level administrator. So Trish sat in on the K-6 on first round, and Karen sat in on K-6 on second round, and then they flip-flopped roles. So they were both involved in K-6 and 7-12 assistant principals. We had 4 certificated staff that were different on the 2 rounds of interviews. So we had 8 teachers who also sat on the interviews. We also had 2 classified staff who sat on the interview, and then we had the Education Association rep who sat in on the interview. So they sat in front of a panel with 9 people on both rounds. Once we went through that, we called the interviews in, candidates in, and then in prep for that, one thing we did not tell any of our candidates, our people on our interview team, is who was coming in to be interviewed until they walked in that day. I know some of you sat in on the high school principal, same type of thing. We followed that same model. And then we met about a half an hour, 45 minutes before, and kind of went through resumes. We had a standard set of questions that everybody used, and there was a rating scale. And we also asked the candidates. We didn't talk about candidates between any of the interviews, so no opinions were shared. I will say people were on the interview committee were very candid and very open. They took out personal biases or thoughts or any of that piece and really just looked what was best for Madison Plains. I was very pleased with both rounds of staff members who sat in there and the professionalism of what, how they handled themselves. So then at that point we went through, we had established norms, we pulled all of the documents, they had everything prepared, conducted the interviews, we ranked our top 3 on both ends of campus, then we called reference calls, made sure the reference checked out before we called second round back. I know I spoke to at least 2 to 3 people with positive references on each of the candidates we called back. Then we called back our top 3 candidates to come back in for round 2, who sat through the same, a different set of 9 people. The only people who were the same both times was myself and the MPE I read was the same. They didn't change. That was just due to scheduling. Once again, the second round people had no idea who the first round people were or who the second round people coming in to protect the integrity of the applicants as well. And then conducted that interview, and then we took, at that point, Mr. Detweiler sat kind of at the side.
I think he ate dinner while you were doing that.
He did eat dinner during ours. I don't know what he did during yours. He did eat dinner during K6. That way he could be able to come to the board and hear the discussion that was had with the staff. And he really didn't weigh in our final discussion, and everybody, and that was one thing that I know we both talked about, is that every person who sat on that committee had an equal voice. The only place that I had a little bit more of a voice is that out of the 17 people who interviewed Mr. Miller, I was there twice. So, I mean, I felt brought integrity to when we're recommending Mr. Miller tonight. This isn't my recommendation. It's not Mr. Detweiler's recommendation. I understand he has to recommend. But it's truly the staff of Madison Plains Elementary and Intermediate who are also recommending.
Great.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Okay. Any additional discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 4-0.
Welcome.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation superintendent the board employ Jason Weiss on a 3-year contract as assistant 7 through 12 principal at step 7, effective the 2015-2016 school year.
Second.
Discussion?
I would ask Dr. Unger to not necessarily go through the process.
That's what he's going to say. What she
said. Didn't I say I had this covered for him?
Let's talk about Jason a little bit.
We follow the same process. I'd like to add to that, being through the process in other districts, there's a lot of credibility out of the way you do things here because it is a group decision and you bring lots of opinions in there. A lot of systems, it's one person or two people that make the decisions, and it really does allow us to select quality candidates. Mr. Weiss comes to us from Mount Healthy, just outside Cincinnati. Lots of experience working with several different types of students. I think he's going to be a very good fit in the high school, middle school, and bring a dimension to my administrative style that is needed. So.
Additional discussion? Thank you. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes. And welcome.
Welcome.
Congratulations.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ the following 1-year contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract
Second. Discussion?
If you notice all the asterisks and the pending background checks, we're trying to move quickly on this one, because I believe we've lost, how many candidates already, Matt?
I interviewed 6 people for a math position. And of those 6, one's not acceptable, and the other 4 have jobs, so.
So we're trying to get this one locked in quickly.
We want to make sure we get a math teacher on board.
And currently, we have 1 math teacher in high school.
One vacancy.
We have 1 vacancy officially right now.
We estimate she'll be around a step 1, is that correct, Matt? Based on looking at the resume?
It's going to be a step 1 or a step 2, depending on how you handle her, experience, but she's pretty fresh out of college.
Additional discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation, Superintendent, the Board approve Tina Seaburn as a tutor, effective June 16th, 2015 through June 26, 2015. I hope that's not 2105.
Yes.
So we'll correct that to 2015?
Yeah.
Second. Discussion?
Again, this is for the three third graders, is that correct, Karen?
Third
is that the right dates, though?
Those are the right dates.
It is. So it's just June, so just 10 days.
Right.
2105. Yeah, it should be 2015.
Well, I knew that, but I mean, it's just 10 days.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Days? This is the students that are potentially at risk of being retained by the third grade reading guarantee.
Okay.
And their next testing opportunity is June 26th.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay, any additional discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, upon recommendation of the Superintendent, the Board employ the following as substitute drivers effective May 29th, 2015, Pam Cutliffe and Scott Pope.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board approve the following workbook prices for the 2015-2016 school year as presented. And I'll let those show up on the screen, because that's a bunch.
Discussion?
These are workbooks that have already been approved with the rubric.
Those are all high school workbooks. I cannot speak to say that all of those are approved through the curriculum maps, but many of them are.
They're picked by the teachers as part of their lesson plan or whatever. Is that correct?
Is that correct, Matt?
Most of those are the ones that they've used for several years.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the Superintendent that the Board approve the agreement between the Board of Healthcare Associates and Madison Plains Public Schools effective May 19th, 2015 as presented.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board accept the following athletic supplemental resignations effective immediately. Alicia McCafferty as 7th grade football cheerleading coach and 8th grade football cheerleading coach.
I'll second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board accept the resignation of Susie Higgins as reserve football cheerleading coach effective May 21st, 2015.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board award a supplemental contract to Lynn Robbins to serve as freshman class advisor for the aid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 contract. Okay, I saw that. I was thinking maybe it would be.
That was an oversight from last year.
Yeah, it is this year.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Although, Lynn probably felt it was like coaching an athletic team. That is not an athletic supplemental, as it's listed there in the heading.
Sweet, okay.
That doesn't affect it.
Right, okay. Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following athletic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 school year.
Second.
Discussion?
As listed.
Oh. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following athletic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for 2015-2016 school year. As listed.
Second.
Discussion?
There are more that will be presented in July in regards to the band program, but these are the main ones we want to get in place.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve a student fee of $150 per class per student in grades 9 through 12 to participate in summer school beginning June 22, 2015 through July 31, 2015.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve a teacher rate of $500 for summer school beginning June 22, 2015 through July 31, 2015.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam President, I move upon the recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the following donations. $107 from various present payments for FFA and $289.10 to Kroger for the junior high principal attendant.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Okay, any new agenda items? Seeing none, we will move to, I make a motion to enter into executive session at 9:21 p.m. for the purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
There are no further action taken.